of fear. And I felt it. And it was very faint. And it hung around for a while. It did. And you know it's there. But my conclusion was, if it's that faint, it ain't gonna never have an effect on me. That was my conclusion. But I think that you sense it because we're in the world. But you want to sense it that far from you. I think the only way we're ever going to pray and not doubt, we have to pray in the spirit. That doesn't mean you have to speak in tongues. You got to pray with acknowledge, praying in the Holy Ghost. Everything I prayed was the will, giving him thanks for what he has done. Which means that, whoa, I never understood this. To give him thanks for what he's done and then don't walk in what he's done is hypocritical. I just want to know that everybody hear that, because I just heard that. Does everybody understand? How do you understand that? To pray for what he's done and don't walk in what he's done is hypocritical. How do you understand that? Let me hear how you understand what I'm saying. Or how do you hear? How do you hear? I want to say that more than anything. How do you hear what I'm saying?
To me, what I'm hearing you say is that you can pray but not walk in it. But to me, if I'm praying according to his will, if I'm praying in the spirit, then I'm going to walk in it. So how am I praying?
What could be the problem with what she's saying? What would be the problem? Say that again.
If I'm praying his will and don't walk in it, how can I not walk in it if I'm praying according to his will?
You understand what she, are you hearing what she said? What should she be conscious of in that state? Do we have another mic?
The only thing I thought about was be conscious of doing it by law, like the Pharisees. Like they thought they were praying the will, not specifically to her, but they thought they were 100% in the will, but they still were doing it by the law because their feet couldn't perform what they were praying and doing because they didn't have a conscience to perform it.
Very good. She made an absolute statement, didn't she? She made an absolute statement. She made an absolute statement that if I'm praying in the will, then I'm going to walk in it. That's absolute. Why is that statement absolute? And why is the way she hearing it is? Why is the way she hearing it is? Two parts. She's praying it and she's walking it. You have to be able to look at each. What's happening in each one? How is she praying?
By the Spirit.
Then how is she going to walk?
Hopefully by the Spirit.
Because if you pray by the Spirit, then you will
walk.
Now, let's go to the garden. Jesus. He's praying, not my will, but thine be done. He's praying. Where is the victory?
Walking it.
How does he know he's going to walk it? In that garden. How does he know? Anybody?
He said, not my will.
How does he know he's going to do it? How does he know that?
He received the Spirit.
There it is. That's the key right there. So he's going to pray until he does what?
Receive the Spirit.
To do what he's praying. He's not going to stop praying until when?
He receives the Spirit.
Now, where is our error?
We don't wait to receive the Spirit.
And we get up and do what?
Try to perform.
And what happens? Because we didn't wait to receive the Spirit of what we were praying. Put your hands together. That was good. That's the effectual, fervent prayer. You have to pray like that. And for women, you have to be still until you feel the covering. You have to be still before you move. Or else you're going to trust your flesh. And then you know the outcome is not going to be. Because you got to understand, in this world, the intensity of the God of this world is to always get women to do what? What is it? Because you got, you understand?
Lay it away.
Huh?
Lay it away.
Led away. Where? How? What's the
in your
wisdom?
Heart.
What's the wisdom to doing it? What's the wisdom to leading you away?
Listening.
Keep going.
Listening to what he's saying to you.
What does his instructions make you do?
Convince you of. He makes us think and contemplate on whatever it is he's presenting to us.
And at that point, what has he done to you like that?
Led you away.
Tell me more. He moved you away. He lied to you. He moved you away. What did he really do? He got you out of your nature. If you're out of your nature, can you be the woman that God called you to be?
No.
All he's got to do is get you out of your nature. It's over. Because look what she's going to do. He's talking to her and she's listening. Right? And she sees based on who talking. The serpent. You got to hear that. She can't see what God says. Because she ain't hearing God at this moment. Who is she hearing?
Serpent.
What do you know about, as a woman, what do you know about that? That posture. That you have a tendency to listen at whoever's talking to you. You can't help it.
But at that moment, how do we discern what's talking to us?
You hear the question? That's why your heart is your key. Your discernment has to come from the hidden man of the heart. Not what someone is speaking to you. How? How is that registered? Do you see how much you have to really study yourself as women? As much as I've taught you, as much as I've taught you, haven't I taught you the journey of your soul? And yet, we can still say, somehow or another, he can still do what?
Lead us away.
How is that possible?
I want to ask this question. How do you study yourself without listening to yourself? Because we hear ourselves, and I think that what trips me up.
You hear the man talking to you because you don't have the seed. Every voice you hear comes from a man. You just try to find one to say what you've already been persuaded. If a woman comes to the place that I cannot think. I have to receive both. That would make her slow down like crazy. And then it's easy by nature to examine it, because it's like, whatever's coming. Now, is it true that sometimes you get overwhelmed from listening to thoughts? When you get overwhelmed by nature, what should you do? Back up from it. Hold it. I need a break. You're overwhelming me. You're taking me too fast. That's what you would do in your nature. But that serpent is talking to her and she ain't got a chance to breathe. She can't breathe. And he's got her looking at it how? The way he sees it, because that's your nature. He can make you see it the way he sees it until you will agree with it. And after the fact, what would you say? What would you say, women? After it's all over, what would you say?
Yep, it's like that.
How did that happen? Well, isn't that the conclusion you come to? How did that happen? That's the subtlety. That's the subtlety. And that's really what you really got to see. And that's why you got to really find the hidden man of your heart. Because he's your covering. And in alignment with the truth I'm teaching, the enemy wars against you and make you struggle hearing me. Because the things I'm saying is for the saving of your soul. He persuaded them not to walk in the salvation of their soul. We're in the world as a quickening spirit. He's persuading you not to walk in the saving of your soul, because he can make you believe something is missing. Lust is dangerous. It's death, really. And the only way you are going to make it to the saving of your soul is not to lust. And yet we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, right? So the gospel had to wash and cleanse. This cleansing by the word is necessary so you can be free of it.
So every time we hear the word, are we washed?
If you can believe it. If you can believe it. But what puts spots back in your feast? There are spots in your feast of charity, which means your love is not perfect. How does that happen to you? Somebody agitates you. Wars against you. The works of the flesh go to work. And then you have these spots in your face of charity, which means your love isn't perfect and your love isn't whole. Honestly speaking, women, every time you hear a mindset, do you feel like that's not you? That you're hearing somebody, some thought that comes from man in some form of knowledge? Man is mine. Really. Man is mine. That's not singular. That's the whole mind that's in the whole world, intellectually, mentally. I mean, wherever there is a mind, that's man. If you ever understood man is mind, you will do excellent. Then you know that the journey of my soul can't go that way. That's what you got to know. But do you think that every time you hear something is not you, that you have to receive it, and only when you yield, you become? And then you can't draw back. Now, I think every woman knows that. Once you yield, you know you can't do that, right? Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. I'm listening.
But if she is being led by the one that's in her heart, she's not going to draw back. She's going to yield. And what you are explaining is that, it's the woman has to be so still.
Yes.
I mean, it's almost like I can't even explain the stillness in order not to be led with that mind. But sometimes I can do that, but then sometimes it's bombarding.
Yes.
And you don't think, about who's speaking to me. You just automatically just go with it.
Yes. But,
and then after the fact, you go, you know what? I shouldn't have thought that. I should have moved that. I shouldn't have did this. Should have done that. But then you want to, okay, next time, like you say, you don't know what you're going to do until you get in this situation.
Right.
But the stillness that you're talking about.
Now you are understanding how much it takes to trust the Lord. That's the only way you're walking in that stillness. If you don't trust Him, you're going to move.
So what does trust in that aspect, with, if you were saying you got to trust the Lord, for me to trust God like that, and I don't know Him to trust Him like that. I only know Him by what you are ministering. So I have to exercise myself in that. But I'm growing into that. I have not reached maturity in that. So in the growing piece, it takes a lot.
That's where there are two parallel scriptures. Men shipwreck concerning the
faith.
Women are destroyed by trust. Your trust is what the enemy comes against. He don't want you to trust. And he does damage to you in your lifetime. Oh, God. What happens in your lifetime? The enemy already knows. He knew the lamb was slain. He already knows the redemption. We come in and don't know it. So in our ignorance, he takes the world and lets you trust something, trust in something, trust, and you keep, bam, trust again. And what do you end up saying after a while?
I ain't going to trust nobody.
Listen to what she said. You what?
I'm not going to trust anyone.
Did you know that was including the Lord? But you want to compartmentize that trust and say, no, that ain't including the Lord. It's a man. You can't do it. A woman cannot by nature compartmentalize nothing. So when you have suffered so much and say, I'm not going to trust anyone, Jesus is included because he is a man. That's what the enemy wants to do to you. So that when you hear the gospel, I don't know. And especially out of a vessel that can bleed and born in sin, shaped in iniquity, all he got to do is show you anything. And you say, Because he's always going to show you something tangible. He's never going to let you be free and know the spirit of matter. The spirit of... Do you hear me when I say that? If I say the spirit of the matter, it's the same as saying the spirit of flesh. It's the same as saying what spirit is moving through your vessel. All of those expressions are the same. Solomon says, let's hear the conclusion of the matter. What he's saying is, what spirit is moving through your matter, your flesh, your vessel? If that's making sense. So that still, you feel that stillness, like I say sometimes, the way I feel is not human. That's how I say it. But your conscience is the only thing you have that can make you witness that. So he's got to deal with you and move you from your conscience so that you don't hold the excellency of knowledge that I give you.
So when we say we trust the women, when we say we trust, do we really trust? You know?
Yeah, that's the real That's the real question. And that's what she's got to deal with. Because all the damage that has been done, and now you see the patience. A bruised reed or a smoking flax. What happens in relationship is, especially when you're coming to the church, everybody say, well, I ain't did nothing to you. Why are you dealing with me like that? I didn't do anything to you. But yet, they don't know that you can respond because of the bruising that you've been through in life. But the man has to take responsibility and accountability because that's what Jesus did. You really got to hear that. Somebody's got, the shepherd has to be responsible and accountable for the spirit of the matter, not for the works of the flesh that came out of the body. He's dealing with the spirit of the matter. Jesus is touched by the infirmities, right? He's got to deal with every spirit that ever came through Mary Magdalene, the harlot that sits on the seven hills in Revelation. He's got to deal with the subtlety of the beast. He's dealing with the spirit that's in men and women that has caused them to leave the garden so they can come back. He feels it all. Now here's the trial of your faith for men. When the spirit that has done the damage hits the church, if the shepherd doesn't have the victory over that spirit, it's going to take him. Just a matter of time. That lust is going to manifest some kind of way. Does that make sense? So you see men do what? And they think they're okay, right? While they're down here. But they don't know when they get up there. That creature can search you from your head to your toe, wherever it is, and it's non-physical. Wherever your mind is, wherever your heart is, he can actually search you like that. That's why Jesus is so powerful. He's not just searching his little vessel. He is searching for a place even in his mind, in his heart, where he's weak. That's why men have patience to get what they want out of you. They just search you until they find out where your weakness is. That's what you don't understand. And yet in the church, he searches to find that weakness. It don't have to be manifested. That serpent got confidence that there's a weakness there. He's listening. And guess what she's doing going along with him? Uh-oh. I got her attention. a tree to be desired? Why are you saying that, woman? How can it be a tree to be desired when the Lord said, if you eat, you go? How do you come up with a conclusion it's a tree to be desired? You're getting to the place where the Lord is giving you increase so you can really see it the way He sees it. I don't want you to think that this isn't growth. This, to get to where we are now, is a miracle. You got to know this is a miracle to get to where we are now. You got to know that. Because some people never get to the place to see it like this. And you're able to examine and see. Because He's got to go back to every place in you where the hurt hit. Somebody said, until you find out where it started. Now, when you get past your birth certificate, it ain't over. That's where it started with your vessel. Then you got to go back and see how it came through Adam and connected to your vessel. That's where the work of the Lord is there.
So do we have to, before Adam, Jesus took care of that. Before I was, He took care of that. So when I got a vessel, came into the world, that spirit came. Now, when you say he has to go back, do I have to go back and pay for that as well?
You're not paying for it. You are going back to witness the victory.
Okay.
We the New Testament are witnesses. The only thing we can be in the New Testament is a witness. The testimony of witness. That's all we can be. And you witness it by trusting. He's going to witness it by faith. That's all we can be. So in the trial, the pressure, the question is, am I going to witness this? Now, am I going to be still? Or am I going to have the faith to endure the God of this world speaking a knowledge to me that don't want me to witness what is? That's what you got to understand.
Do you think that women flip-flop from the masculine posture back to the woman posture, and then when we hear the word, we don't know how to rightfully stay in the nature when we hear the word? Because a lot of times you say faith is for the men, trust is for the women, but a lot of times you don't use the word trust, you just use the word faith.
Right.
And so we are thinking that it's for the us, but we need to say, when you say faith, is it faith for the women all together as a whole? Or do we still need to say trust for the women and faith for the men?
How would you deal with your heart gate? Masculine or feminine?
I would say it's feminine, but we don't always deal with it that way. But it's feminine.
Very good. Trust in the Lord with all thine
heart.
And lean not
to your own understanding.
So the book of Proverbs is dealing with the man and the strange woman. Don't give your heart to her. To get him in the salvation of his soul. You got to hear that. It's the trust for the heart gate. For him as well. Because your heart is what? Masculine and feminine. So when you deal with the gates, they are both what? Masculine. Right brain, left brain, one brain. Right? Heart. Left, right. One heart. Blood goes out, blood comes in. She's pushing it out, pushing it in. Thought goes in, thought goes out. So all the gates that are in you, the gates and the doors, they are both masculine and feminine, and they create wholeness in marriage. You have to marry the thought of your heart before your body says yes. You have to marry the thought in your mind before your head says yes. So either adultery has already been created, and now you're going to make your members obey. Now, this is where consciousness is so powerful. Now we should be able to deal with this behind the veil of our flesh and allow the body to remain sanctified by the law of God and not allow it to go through those things, because the enemy will tell you, well, if I think it and I don't already sin, what does the devil want to tell you in the next statement?
You might want to do it.
And what do we do sometimes?
Do it.
Why do you want me to bring the vessel into the same sin? Now, you ain't... I'm not going to let you bring the vessel into the same sin. No. If it hasn't, we're going to keep this. I'm going to hold this until it comes to deal with that. That was perfect. You got to hold that until it comes. And the Lord comes to give you victory there through the preaching of the gospel, if that makes sense. This is good. Let me hear you. You was going to read that. Yeah. You so don't know where that is.
1 Timothy 1 verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck.
Oh, that's powerful. Read that again. That's perfect. I'm glad we're reading that.
1 Timothy 1 verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck.
It says holding faith and a good conscience. God, this holding faith and a good conscience. What's going to war against your faith? What's going to war against your trust? What's going to war against it? Your conscience? Is that connected with everyone? Holding faith and a good conscience.
In which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck.
Let's understand the shipwreck. Holding faith and a... So a good conscience is a purge conscience. That conscience is always going to be in agreement with the faith. Right? Absolutely. It's never... A good conscience is never going to speak against the faith. You got to really hear that. But evidently, the problem is there's a consciousness that speaks against the faith. So the mystery of the faith is not in that conscience. Now, what conscience is that? Is yours. That's your conscience. That's your conscience. Your conscience speaks to you. It talks to you. It's either going to speak to you of the faith, or it's going to speak to you of the God of this world. Your conscience is going to talk to you. So I was sitting and thinking. The consciousness that the Lord gave you, does it think? It can only... And if I steal myself, he will speak to me. But if I don't steel myself, I won't hear him. Stillness is feminine. But Elijah is very still in that cave. Somewhere so he can hear a... He's connected with his soul. He's connecting with his soul. Do you know? It's nothing we can do about it because it's been done. But the Lord is going to make full end of everything. We're in a time now where people are not concerned about your soul being saved. They're not. People want to satisfy their life and go wherever they're going to go. Because there's some knowledge in them that says you are not surely going to die. Having your hearts sprinkled what? You hear what she just said to Timothy? Paul is telling Timothy? Holding faith and a good conscience? Oneness. Then, in this other place, having your heart sprinkled from a what? So whatever consciousness is over your members or your gates is your God. Yes.
Hebrews 10 verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart, full of assurance of faith.
Full of assurance and faith. Full? Is there any place for doubt? Not if it's full. Draw near. Do that, God. Do that.
Hebrews 10 verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water.
There it is. There it is, our Minister Josie. There it is right there. What's the key to your body being washed? Make it plain, Minister Sarah. Make it plain. What's the key?
Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water.
The key to your body being washed with pure water is what? That's what you have to do. And where was the blood of Jesus applied? Then why do you let a consciousness lay on your heart that testify against the shedding of blood? Wow, that was weighty. How do you hear that? How do you hear? How do you hear that? How do you hear that? I'm grateful that we've come to this place. We had to come to this place. Because It's the journey. But you can't get frustrated. You know why we get frustrated? Because we want the Lord to accept something we did. And what is he saying? I'm not accepting nothing you do. I'm only accepting the work of my son. And you have to believe into that work. Now the covenant says, He purged our conscience from what? What kind of work? So, the consciousness that was over our heart was evil. Why? Why was it evil? What did it produce? Works that are never going to glorify God. A flower look good until it fades. Grass look good till it turns brown. All that's coming from what kind of conscience? So your evil conscience can rob you in a moment. Your evil conscience can lay over your heart and you'll desire something that you think is God. Until the grass start withering and the flowers start fading. And then you start thinking. So the subtlety is, he's always going to present something to you to get you to agree. So he's got to show you something. He's got to put a desire in your heart. He's got to plant a seed in your mind. He's got to deal with your senses. And make you see it a certain way. And then make you feel like God don't want you to have it. And then he's got to deal with all the mingled knowledge that we have taught ourselves because we wouldn't listen to nobody. Now I went through that. Now I'm just going to tell you right now. There were times I read so much stuff. And when I would empty that stuff out and I hit a place, the Spirit said, go read. Go read some of that stuff you used to read. Go back and read it again. I said, I'm not doing that. Go back and refresh yourself with it. I said, I'm not going to bring that stuff back alive because it didn't profit. See, you can't throw it out today and tomorrow can be some years and it come back and tell you go back again and then you go back and start going again. It's going to take you back where it took you the first time. You can't keep stumbling over the same mistake. It tells me that. I said, oh, no, I'm going to do it his way. I said, I hear too well. Even the way I hear, it still say, go read. Some of the stuff you read, refresh yourself so you'll know how to minister it. It'll come back to you and you can minister it. Now, you know who's talking to me? Cornelius. That's the creature I created in my flesh with years of studying. He's talking and he wants me to bring him back alive because I've denied him. I can't say that no better. You hear yourself crying out in you because it don't want you to deny it. Because it's what you made with your hand and you want it to be accepted. And you get mad because it's not accepted and God is never going to accept it. So you are mad at you because you got something to offer. And God don't want it. Because it's got a flaw in it. It's got death in it. And he doesn't want it. You wouldn't think I would hear a voice like that the way I hear God. No. but I know it's me. I did something the other day. I got to talk about myself because I don't have a problem. Because I'm free. You know, when you want to look good, you don't talk about yourself, do you? No. When you want to look good, do you talk about yourself? No, you do what to yourself? Exalt yourself. Oh, there you go. Right, good. But I'd rather wait on the Lord, right? God, I hear it. I hear the spirit of what I said. I heard this spirit speak, and I couldn't discern it at the moment. I really couldn't. So I heard it. And I didn't think about it. If I can't discern something, I don't contemplate over it. Because that's not how I'm going to know. If I hear something, I just leave it. You know how sometimes when things don't click for you, and they tell you put it down and just walk away from it for a little while, and then all of a sudden, you know, a little time, it comes, and guess what? It clicks. Well, you got to do that with knowledge. You got to do it with the things I say to you. Just hear it. If you can hear it without just purely hearing it, just hear. He'll bring it back. The Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost that I'm praying right now by the Holy Ghost, is that He bring all things back to your remembrance whatsoever I have taught you. Now you ought to praise Him for that. Oh, please do, because He's doing it. He's doing it. He's doing it. Oh, God. I feel the virtue of it. I feel the virtue of it. I feel the life of it. Come on. Live stream listeners, come on. Everybody give praise. I feel the virtue of that. I feel the power of that. He's doing that now. That's how you're going to know He sent me. When the Holy Ghost brings it back to you, what I've taught, then you're going to know. And you won't be trusting your strength to try to remember it. Because the way we remember it, it doesn't have a member. We remember it like we study a class in a textbook. He's going to remember it in His body. If you're in me, do I have a problem remembering you?
No.
Because where are you?
In me.
Who do I have a problem remembering? And where did He create us? Does He have a problem remembering us? We have a problem because we don't know how much He has already what? Remembered you. Because the God of this world alienates you from knowing you've been remembered. I was born in sin, shaped in iniquity. I was a member of iniquity. I have been remembered. What does it mean to be remembered? In Adam, I was a member of that body. I was supposed to come out like a God. But because he sinned, I could not come forth. But through the work of Jesus Christ, I'm remembered that I might come forth now. He's God. I have so much joy, and my confidence is in Him. This is my trust. He's going to bring it back to your remembrance. I know that this night, that you won't be able to remember it because the Holy Ghost is going to do it. The difference is going to be this. When the Holy Ghost remembers it in you, it's flesh of His flesh. It's alive in you. It's the spirit of it. And it will. You won't have to try to remember. It will be in you. You won't struggle. It's His work. That's the trusting. He'll bring back all things to your remembrance. and everything I've taught you, He will bring it back. And that that you think you've forgotten, when He brings it back, you're going to find out you can't forget what the Holy Ghost is teaching you. The Holy Ghost is not teaching anyone anything new. He's teaching you everything that you are. Oh. Do you know how powerful the prophet should be now? It's not that you can't speak concerning things in this world, but that's not the origin. You're into divination then. You're into divination, you're into witchcraft, and you're into sorcery. When you are speaking prophetically and your prophecy is not connected to the 4 and 20 elders. I just heard it too. It's getting hot in here. When your prophecy is not connected to the 4 and 20 elders, you into divination. John on the Isle of Patmos, he's caught up. The 4 and 20 elders are doing what? You got to read. Oh God. Oh my God. Oh God. Oh God. You ever kissed the Word of God? No. You ever kissed the Word of God? But the Scripture says, kiss the Son, lest He be angry. Isn't it written? You know, you never kissed the Word of God. You don't know how to do that. Oh. He said, kiss the Son, lest He be what? Does that require haste? If you knew somebody was going to get angry if you didn't do it, would you kind of speed up the process? I would too. Go ahead, let's hear this.
Revelation 4, verse 2. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was on, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto emerald. And round about the throne were 4 and 20 seats. And upon the seats I saw 4 and 20 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which were the 7 spirits of God.
The 7 spirits of God. It's a rainbow. The 7 hues, the 7 colors, all emanating from white light. Pure. And every one of those spirits belong to one of the gates in man. His heart gate. Ezekiel, this is prophetically. Ezekiel saw it as a wheel in the middle of a wheel. The wheel of life in your heart is death. And an evil conscience is over your heart. And you can pull out your soul, your energy, your strength, all to a wheel that's perpetuating death in you with good and evil. That's why there's something wrong with your love. And then you play the blame game why something is wrong with your love. It's something wrong with your love, not because somebody else wasn't faithful. It's because something in you can't be faithful. It's nothing wrong with Jesus' love. It's nothing wrong with the love of God. It's faithful. And yet, Israel, unfaithful. Forehead of a whore, refused to be ashamed, but God is faithful. Because love can't think evil. And love don't believe it can fail. So whatever the subjects are doing outside, as long as love is in my heart, it can't fail. You hear that? You hear that? We will always struggle with relationships because of the evil consciousness over our heart. And we grab hope to the good and think that's God. It's not God. Anything you can hate that you ever said you love, no one thing, your heart was not pure. Has the Lord ever been upset at us? What kind of thoughts does he have toward us? And we act up. Does it change his mind? Does it change his heart? Then why is it that our heart changes from one to another in the same body that he's in, and the same love wherewith he loved us doesn't emanate out of our heart? Because our conscience over our heart is evil and we don't have unsprinkled it because we're some self-righteous people. Now, tell me what you hear in the air. What do you hear after that? Tell me. Because I know they were talking to you. Because I heard them where I was. Tell me what they said. I know they were talking while I was ministering. You know the Lord don't stop the devil from talking when he's talking to you. He just want to know who you're going to listen to. Okay. Well, may as well just let everybody just do what they want to do. Got to love them anyway. What is relationship all about? I get married and then somebody go crazy and I still gotta love them. That ain't happening. Oh, y'all didn't hear none of this. You all didn't. You probably have heard something like this. Well, good. The Lord is judging it tonight. How do you hear something like that and your flesh doesn't cry out and come back and say, what's the purpose of all this? For the first time, I'll tell you, everything I just said has nothing to do with your flesh, but everything to do with your journey of your soul. But what do we want to do with what I just said? Apply it to what? Flesh. Is it going to work? You can't take what's due to the soul and give it to the flesh. The flesh cannot walk in the journey of the soul. It cannot. If I get you conscious of the soul, there'll be no more separations in life. You're going to love one another. You're going to love everybody. You're going to love them the way the Lord loves you. And as much as he has forgiven you, that you know, is how much you're going to forgive somebody else. Now, if you didn't need but a little bit, you ain't going to give nobody else but a little bit. But if you know you messed up, and you wretched, you're going to give everybody a whole lot of mercy. But isn't this true? People that are forgiven are hard on everybody else. Have you noticed? They can be so hard on everybody else, like, and I know them when I see them. I say, okay, they've been forgiven, and now they're thinking God wants them to kill everybody else. It's not true. As merciful as he's been to you is how merciful you're supposed to be to everybody. Because it's about your what? Soul. Ain't about your flesh. So prophetically, the 24 elders, you got 12 prophets, 12 apostles. The seats are around the throne. The same rainbow that Noah saw is seen around the throne. The seven spirits of God that are emanating for every gate. So if my heart isn't sprinkled from an evil conscience, then one of the flames of the candlestick can never be in my heart. So I'm going to love and hate all the days of my life. And my heart going to fail me for. Because if I don't ever purge out that evil conscience from my heart going to fail me for fear. Fear is going to take my heart. And I'm going to be one fearful creature. And I'll be tormented by the fear that's coming out of my heart because I won't have it sprinkled from an evil conscience. And I'm denying the covenant that he purged my conscience. God, I could write a book. This stuff doesn't stop. You know why he's doing this tonight? Do you know I never heard this, right? Do you know this is my first time hearing this? Do you believe me? You know I didn't have time to study all this and put this together, right? You know why you're hearing it? Because I revealed to you something so simple that the Spirit came to me and said, why don't you go get those books and read all that stuff you used to read and bring it back to the surface and teach it? And I revealed that spirit and told on it and said I wouldn't do it. And then the Lord starts ministering to me like you just heard. Don't be righteous and don't see the fruit of it. You should immediately see the fruit of righteousness in your conscience. Your conscience should always make you see the fruit of righteousness. Always. Because you're not walking by sight. So the prophets should be so powerful. This is what the Lord revealed. If it's 12 apostles and 12 prophets, those are seats in the heavens. Here's the problem. There are prophets that have sit in those seats and didn't talk like God. There are apostles that have sit in those seats and have not talked like God. Jesus was the last prophet. They killed him. And the apostle, the chief apostle. Because we think those seats are earthly. Those 24 elders represent those 12 seats of apostles and prophets. First apostles, then prophets. Everyone in the earth supposed to receive an anointing from one of those seats and speak from the throne of God. Now, that's the truth, if you ever heard it. That's why he's coming against everyone and charging everyone that ever sit in those seats to glory in men. Don't you think you're not going to be held accountable? every prophet ought to be able to speak the word of God until flesh comes on your bones. Do you know what I meant when I said that? That whatever in you is dead. That the prophet can speak a word and put flesh back on it and make it look like God while he's talking. Because he's sitting in the seat around the throne of God. And the angels of God, their elders, with crowns on their head, are walking in the midst of the earth. And we provide them with an earthen vessel. And they provide us with the glory from the heavens, that there might be one. Because they're not going to get another body. They're not going to get another one. They just want somebody to give them one. So that that anointing can step down in the house and walk in you. That's the truth, church. That's the truth. That's why your body is supposed to be presented as a living sacrifice so he can consume it. I hear. No. I can't think like I hear. I can't do that. I can't. I just hear. And it's impossible for you to hear me and don't end up where I am. That's impossible. That's impossible. That's the power. Ezekiel is going to prophesy to some bones. What happens to it? And the Lord says, can they live? What does Ezekiel say? Is he presumptuous? We are some presumptuous people. We'll step out there. God's going to do it. God's going to do it. He ain't told you nothing. Well, I'm going to just believe. I'm going to grab hold of faith. That's not faith. That's not faith. That's not faith. That's not faith. Faith is to walk in what is, not to become. Faith does not come out of anything. Tadia. Faith comes from the word. The word was in the beginning. You know you got faith because you speak from the beginning and you call the thing to be not as though it is. That's faith. And your conscience bridges the beginning and the end and brings everything together in you. And your conscience serves you. No, I will not allow anyone to speak against the church that cleanses you from your sins and washed us. And then we want to speak against the very church that washed us. And then you want to separate things. I'm against it because the Lord is judging it in this hour. I like the way he judges things. Because judgment began where? Well, tell somebody you sitting there. It would be strange to me that Jesus is telling me what's right and not going to let his body go through the suffering. Let something go wrong. What part of us do we remove from the situation? What part do you remove? What part do you remove? Get a mic, tell me, please. In anything you're going through, what part of you do you remove?
The body.
Say it again.
The body.
Because you don't want it to what?
Suffer.
And then you turn around and say you suffer. You don't. I can imagine Jesus said, yep, I went to the cross in my mind, but I shouldn't let my body go. You will move your body out of a situation immediately because you don't have no faith to come out of it. You don't know Jesus. You know why I hear when I hear? Because I wait for him to judge movement. Then, what's supposed to happen? To see who can repent at the judgment of the Lord. Does Paul and Silas remove their body? Does Stephen move his body out of the suffering? We remove our body out of the situation and don't know your resurrection is there. You save yourself. That's not Jesus. And his body ain't gonna get mad and have a fit either. And he ain't pulling out no sword either. Because his words and his body are one. His blood that he's going to pour out, our blood in our very life, in our body, is poured out in what we believe. Whatever you believe, put your blood in it. So that your blood can speak. So people said people are fickle. They're not real. You don't put your love. You will separate yourself in a minute. You will take your body out of the equation in a minute. You will quit anything. Because I don't want what? My body to what? Well, how many times you going to deliver yourself? Before you realize what? I just need to what? Because who went through it? Is he a way maker? Is he a way maker? Well, stop Xing yourself out of it. I ain't seen an apostle or a prophet that Xed their body out of their faith and what they believe. They didn't do it. And we'll do it in a minute. And talking about he loved me. And he died for me. And at least little thing wrong with you. You ain't had to resist blood yet. Nobody's holding you at the stake. You just can't get your way. And you're mad. You're upset. And then you want to tell somebody what's right and what's wrong. I don't ever see Jesus doing that. Or do you? You don't have to tell anybody what's right and wrong when you can be. You don't have to tell anybody anything when you can be. All they got to do is keep looking at you. You're going to show them. Is that love or not? Is that love? Is it the love of the flesh or the love of the soul? Which one is it? Isn't it the love of your soul? Then why cut it off? Because he loved us to the end. Didn't he? Are we going to be saved or not? Are we going to be saved? By whose work? Well, you ought to praise him like it's his work. Now, if our flesh get in the way, what is he going to do? Turn it over to Satan for destruction so your spirit will be saved in the day of the Lord. Isn't that so sweet? Isn't that good? Ain't that good? Because he wants you what? And he'd rather your flesh what? Be turned over for destruction so your spirit can be saved in the what? Who thinks like that but God? I guess, can we say it again, Pastor? Is it about us? It ain't about us. You sure it ain't about us? Love doesn't need help. Love doesn't need help. Love doesn't need help. Love is complete all by itself. Love has no lack. It never runs out. It believes. Oh no, are you afraid to finish it? It believes what? It hope is what? It endures what? It bears what? Ask somebody, why are you fussing? Why are you complaining? Ask somebody, why are you complaining? Well, come to a conclusion. It must be me, right? There ain't nothing but my flesh. There ain't nobody but me. I'm speaking against what God is declaring to be. If thou canst believe it, all things are possible.